and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast, brought to you by Brainstorm Brewery. I am your host, Angelo, and I'm back this week with Ryan.
What up, what up?
This is number episode 58, and it's a special one for us because, you know, it's our big episodes. We love going over these Pro Tours.
Pro Tours.
This Pro Tour was modern, and it was taking place in Valencia, Pro Tour Born of the Gods. So, did you watch a bunch of this like I did, Ryan?
I did. I watched a ton of coverage. I was really pleased with the job they did. I'm really excited they toned down Zach Hill a bit. You know, they let him do some deck techs and shit still, but man, they really toned him down in coverage, which was great.
They put him in the right place, I think. Yeah. Really where he was more, where he really wasn't going. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, I believe, where it's not like, He's good for very specific aspects, and you don't really want him, in my eyes, being the guy who's trying to explain the game as it goes.
Yeah.
For as many Pro Tours as the man's been on.
Yeah, LSV did a great job of that during the top eight. Man, it's so awesome when they get him in the booth.
Yeah, I really wish he would be playing in the top eight, though. It's been a while since I've seen that.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I just don't know if does he have it anymore? I don't know.
He probably still has it. I don't know. I think the advent of teams, for as much as it helps most players, I think it hurts a player like LSV because, you know, there's so many of his teammates that are literally picking his brain.
That's true.
And over the years, they've just accumulated his knowledge amongst the other people's knowledge. And
yeah,
I just don't think that he quite had it. So when the day starts out, and they start out drafting, okay, and this is Friday, stupid fuck early in the morning for us in the United States. I think I got up at 3 to watch the draft.
I was actually awake when it started still, just from partying, and I didn't watch much of it, but I tried to catch back up the next day.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the fact that nowadays, every draft at the Pro Tour, they have that feature table. I do enjoy that because for so long, I mean, this is probably before you was around. Like, they would go to draft and literally it was like, we'll be back in an hour, you know, and you just have to walk away from your computer or, you know, your streaming device.
They didn't have the draft cam. That sucks.
Oh, for years they didn't have a draft cam because they was afraid that people would be, you know, using social networks to tell people what other people took.
Oh, I'm sure they do though.
I'm sure they do as well, but they was so afraid of it that they just did not want to touch it. And a lot of players didn't want that camera on them. So after a couple of players decided, you know what, put the camera on me. I'll be fine if you know, videotape me.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you could beat me. Watching Owen Turtenwald draft was fucking awesome.
Yeah, and day two. But it was weird. Like once a few people did it, more people was like, oh, okay, it doesn't make that big of a difference. So now, you know, it seems like every Pro Tour, I think it is every Pro Tour now, we have that draft cam, and that's fucking great. I do love it. So, you know, the drafts went fairly decent. It was kind of weird. Let's just skip the first draft. We'll talk about the second one more in depth because I have
draft was really, really tricky, and I've heard others mention it, like, a lot of these modern guys are moto grinders, as evidenced by the top eight.
Yeah.
That, and they don't do much of this draft, so it kind of gave the opportunity for some of the other pros, like, to kind of do well in draft and kind of, like, skate on that a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But, I don't know, a lot of big surprises in the draft. Like Finkel did like terribly. Quite a few big names didn't fare so well in the draft. I thought the draft portion was really interesting as far as its impact on this tournament, much more so than Pharos. Pharos, we saw the guys 3-0-ing the drafts, like just crushed the other portion of the tournament also.
Well, the thing is, I mean, with modern, there are players out there who are considered specialists of the format. So you don't have you have people who are really good at modern, and those aren't necessarily people who are really good at drafting. You know what I mean? So it really sits on two separate ends. I think that has a lot to do with it. I got to watch, you know, in round four, let's just jump directly to round four. I don't know if you got to catch this. It was, Gabriel Nassif versus, Tim Simoneau. Okay.
Oh yeah. Simino had a sweet, pod list.
Yeah. Simino was running pod. Gabe was running, blue white. Gabe is, you know, stupid Hall of Famer. I think he's been to like 60 plus, pro tours. He's just stupid good.
Ridiculous, control player. Like,
oh yeah. Well, not even necessarily control. I mean, like he's been known for so many things. Like, his Dragonstorm deck from years back. I mean, like the collared shot that he made there. I mean, he's done some things. It's,
I like the list. He ran a lot of fucking Wormcoil Engine, Wall of Omens, Vendilion Click, Snap. I mean, this list is fucking sweet, man.
Yes, I do like the Gideon in there as well. He actually wins game one because he gets a Gideon down and then he just snapcasters a Supreme Verdict in the play. And yeah. It was like, well, Gideon's going to beat you now. And that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
Game two was kind of weird. Like he brought in a Stony Silence and, something else. So he plays a Wormcoil while he's at two. And it really looks like Gabe's going to win this thing. Like it looks so over. And then Simino, you know, busts out the one Path of Exile that he has and, goodbye, Gabe. Gabe loses that one. And then game three, it ends up coming into a draw, which kind of sucked to see.
But this is where the French spirit, right?
Yeah, Gabriel Nassif, yes, very French. Very.
No, is this the one where the guy was like...
Yes, in spirit, he gave Gabe the win, like, at the end of the round. It was kind of weird. Like, it should have ended in a draw, and then Gabe gets it from Simino, which was really cool of him. I mean, if you believe he has the better shot at it.
Well, yeah, Simino had already had three losses at that point.
Yeah, actually, I don't think Gabe was doing much better.
No, Gabe, Nassif, had lost two matches at that point.
Yeah, it wasn't much better. It was just like, okay, well, that's that. And then, you know, at the same time, in between games, they were switching over to Wesco versus Jesse Hampton. Hampton was on a Twin. Wesco was on blue black token or white black token.
I gotta say, I love his list. They showed it a couple times and he was just fucking beating down, dude. And no Bitter Blossom in his black white tokens.
Nah, that was probably the one reason I was gonna bring this up. No Bitter Blossom. So, yeah. Team.
If that doesn't mean it wasn't there. It is in several of the top modern decks that they got posted. So it's not like Bitter Blossom wasn't one, you know, in some of the top performing decks there. Just for, I don't know. I mean, his deck, Bitter Blossom, he chooses to run, Wesco was running Honor of the Pure, if I'm not mistaken, over Intangible Virtue. So Honor of the Pure doesn't really do anything for your Bitter Blossom.
Yeah, tokens. It does nothing for your Bitter Blossom tokens. I mean, it was probably, if you're going to play the one card, then you don't play the other. And he was basically going with all white tokens. So why run the Bitter Blossom, you know? Yeah,
Squadron Hawk, I thought was a fucking nice touch.
Yeah, I mean, that thing's almost a token. It creates three more of its own, you know, yeah, that card's still good, guys. Still good.
Yeah, put some swords on it.
Yeah, those claws still hold swords.
Yeah.
And then like round five comes around, right? And it's, Tomas Gleed versus, Weequan Wong, right? And this is the first time I got to see the Blue Moon deck on the week. I love this deck.
Not a fan.
This is what Magic should be. Like, you know what? I'm going to sit back. I'm going to counter everything you have, and then I'm going to make your lands fucking useless. He preyed on the format, dude. You have to give him credit. This list is perfect for what this format is.
I liked it a lot. I thought it attacked the format. It didn't surprise me to see a copy of Blue Moon in the top eight, but fucking Blood Moon is just...
It wrecks the format.
An event I go to, somebody plays a Blood Moon, and then the other person just sits there and waits 20 minutes for the other dude to do something or find what he needs. It's so fucking... That, to me, is complete non-interactive magic and not
this
what I...
This is why you're not a control player. You might say you want to be, but it's not in your heart, man, because this, like, spoke to me. I was like, this is beautiful. This is a thing of beauty. Sit there and counter anything he wants to play, bounce other things, and then make all his lands useless and just control the game until you're ready to win. That's control. That's old school control. I fucking love this deck.
I love the him beating people down. Videlkin Shackles was really fucking good in this list. I just, it's not, I like to interact with my opponent a lot more. Like,
Right. This is, you're not quite ready for the old school Control decks, man. Cause this is, dude, honestly, like, this is what Control is to me.
It was so boring when they had it on camera. I was like, this is fucking boring. Like, this other dude is not even doing anything.
See, you find it boring and I'm looking at it going, this is fucking great. Because yeah. It's just like, I draw a card, go.
I see its appeal. I see its appeal. Like, just Blood Moon to me is grossly overpowered, man. And when I think of, like, cards like Deathrite Shaman that get banned and then I see...
No. Listen, Deathrite Shaman is one thing. This is something completely different. People choose when they build their decks to walk into dying to this card. Flat out, plain and simple. You choose to say, okay, I'm going to play 26 lands and 22 of them are going to be, you know, non-basic. You've made the fucking choice right there because you get that advantage by playing dual lands, but you're also walking into a card like Blood Moon. And you've made the choice when you build your deck that, you know what, if somebody plays Blood Moon on me on turn three, I'm in deep shit.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's, it's a reason for me playing, I play mono white and modern. And
you have nothing to fear from that card.
Well, no, I don't, but it's a lot of, modern's relatively new to a lot of people in our community, so you have like those three or four guys at every modern FNM that they jam mono red, goblin guide, whatever, just burn, and they all have four Blood Moons in their fucking sideboard, and it's just, so I don't know. I don't worry about it, but every modern event I see, I end up just watching someone get Blood Moon and it's so fucking lame. I don't know, man. If that's your bag, dude, whatever, but
I feel like, you know what? That's a card that you make a choice when you say, I want to run something three colors like Pod. I want to run something, or fuck, Pod can be even more than that, but the average one is like three, correct?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. When you make that choice that you're going to run this deck, obviously, I mean, in a non-rotating slash eternal format, whatever you want to call it, you know what? You're actively making a choice to say, okay, I'm going to have a good win percentage against X decks, but I'm going to have a bad losing percentage against X decks. That's the way these formats break down.
You're disenchanted.
Yeah, I mean, play a disenchant. You know,
have your counters still. I mean, yeah, it's
play a few basic lands.
Yeah, I mean, if I were a control player, this is, I really like, the blue, white, red, but I also like this a bunch. If I were a control player, I could see this being a ton of fun, dude. Master of Waves is just a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, even when you're mastering for one blue.
Yeah, I mean,
it's winning off of it. It's great.
It doesn't, it's just like, this is a fun looking control deck. As far as control decks go, it seems pretty fun to play if control's your thing.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Teferi's in the sideboard. The deck is just, it's so built to just hose the whole format that I have to give it credit. I don't know if you got to see in round seven, Mahara was playing against, Reed Duke. And Reed Duke actually got out two Phyrexian Obliterators and promptly had both of them stolen off of him.
Oh, no. No, I missed that.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I ain't gonna lie. It was like, oh, there's an Obliterator on the board, they were saying, and then they eventually switch over and they get over there and fucking, what the hell is that card called? The, red dude that comes into play and takes something when he comes in. Conscripts.
Okay, yeah, Zealous Conscripts.
Dude was running Conscripts main board. He just took them. It was hilarious. It's like, you're a
Conscripts main board is hilarious. That's fucking crazy.
That's a good call on the format against the right decks. I mean, it's going to be good against, you know, against things like
a spell that might not do shit against a control deck.
It ain't going to do shit against a control deck. It's pretty good against Pod.
Yeah, but fuck, man, I would
expect
not
a lot of Pod. That. You expect a lot of Zoo. We'll go over the full breakdown before we actually get into the top eight.
Yeah.
A lot of those decks showed up, so I mean, like, it was a good call.
Sure.
Yeah, he's gonna have bad matchups, but for the most part, yeah, it was a good call. I don't know if you got to see who, finished the day on day one in really good shape.
Or was it, our boy Harry?
Yeah, he actually did. He finished 6-2, but it was your boy, Matthias Hunt.
Oh yeah.
Undefeated.
Not that weird. I'm playing lands in modern.
It was Amulet of Vigor deck, which is, you know, I guess at some point we'll look over that deck and we'll really get into how that thing works. It's extremely difficult to run.
such a goon. Yeah, very, very difficult deck. He's a good player. He's still a douche.
Yeah, he played good Magic. I mean, just because you don't like to listen to him talk doesn't mean he doesn't play good. Dude, that's a very tough deck, and to do that well with it on day one, I got to, tip my shitty hat to him.
He plays different stuff. At the last Pro Tour, he played Pro Tour Theros. He played Junk Deck.
Yeah.
For the Wilds and stuff that a couple guys were on. He does the funky decks.
That's where his appeal is to a lot of players as far as, him as a player goes, is the fact that he's willing.
Yeah, what? I said, I know it's not his personality.
Yeah, it's the fact that it is part of his personality. I mean, the fact that he's willing to go, I'm going to think outside the box and bring something in that nobody else is expecting and do well with it. And, every brewer out there looks at people like that and goes, yeah, I want to be the guy who shows up with the deck that nobody's expecting.
Yeah, I love his explanation for one Tendo Ice Bridge. He just didn't want a fourth Talaria West. That is okay.
It wasn't Talaria West. It was, he doesn't want a fourth City of Brass.
Oh,
too much damage.
Okay.
Yeah, it's way too much damage.
I thought he said Talaria West in the deck tech, being funny. It's a crazy deck. This is super fucking complicated. I don't recommend this for the novice.
I don't recommend this without many, many hours of playtesting.
I'm sure he put in.
What's up?
And I'm sure he put it in, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he did put in plenty of time. I mean, even when he's doing his video coverage, in those rounds that he gets off, I'm sure he has somebody good to play with, when he's sitting down here at SCG.
He started 5-0. I don't know how he did after that, but.
He finished day one 9-0.
9-0, okay.
Yeah, or it was either 9-0 or 8-1. He finished the day just kicking everybody's ass. It was kind of nuts. I actually found myself rooting for the deck because it was more than just for the person. I was rooting for the deck, and his day two did not go as well, but, it is what it is.
Curse of the PT deck tech.
Yeah, a lot of players, day twos, they walked into day two feeling really good, Like I said, our buddy Harry Corvese, he went into day two 6-2. I need four wins basically to get on the train.
Chibler, a lot of big names were doing great going into day two.
Yeah, and then the draft happened. And I don't know, I got to watch, Harry Corvese was in the feature draft. He sat directly across from,
should probably let him tell us the story when he's here.
Well, we're going to, I do want to go over what this pod was. I know what his first pick was, and it would have been the same pick I would have picked. And it was the, God damn it. Why can I not think of names when they're right there ahead of me? He took the black card, 3/3 flyer, deals one damage to you.
Yes, Herald of Torment.
Yes.
Dude,
he takes this card, and I'm like looking at the pack, and I'm like, well, that's the one I'd fucking take. If you looked at the pod, dude, his pod was brutal. People were open. Xenagoses, the mythics that got opened in pack one of this pod, it was fucking unreal. It's just like, man, and the bad thing was, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, fuck, not too many people should be in black. So I was thinking Harry was actually in good shape, but I don't know which way he ended up going. I haven't really talked to him too much about what he did with his draft from that point on. And, it's a shame.
Though, I'm thinking of running that over Nightvale Spectre in my mono black. It's got a good bestow cost for what it does.
That's a good card, man.
Yeah, it trumps the Night Veil, and it's easier to cast more reliably on turn three.
And it's clearly the replacement to Desecration Demon once the rotation happens. I don't know if it's ready yet for the limelight, but it's definitely not too far off in the distance,
Yeah.
Because three black is three black, and
two black.
What?
It's a colorless and two black.
Right, but depending on your Mutavault count, it's not that much easier to get out into play as a Night Veil Spectre, which is three black.
Yeah.
You're in mono black, it's not that much more difficult.
No, there is times where I pull that good hand though, and it's Mutavault, Swamp, Night Veil Spectre, I could easily see Harold slotting in there. Some people already have replaced the Night Veil. I'd have to see the results or whatever, but.
Yeah, so the one big thing with the draft that, it was kind of funny because I expected, because I was kicking ass last week online, playing Theros, Limited.
Yeah.
Plus Born of the Gods. I mean, just crushing it. And I really thought, oh my God, now the Pro Tour's happened. We've had 2 days of drafts. Everyone's going to pick up on what you should be drafting and nobody's still doing it. But basically you want to go like real little creatures, real little creatures. The format is now about speed. And I mean like gate crash type speed. You want to be quicker than your opponent at all costs. Just finish the match as quick as fucking possible.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's really all about getting a bunch of little dudes out and then jamming a bestow on one of them.
A bestow, a random enchantment, a cheap combat trick like Titan Strength.
Oh yeah, especially on heroic dudes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's what it is. It's like, this is what I want to do. I want to be quicker than everybody else. White is the best color hands down now in draft. And apparently there's guys at Channel Fireball figured that out because that's what I saw a lot of them drafting. Team Channel Fireball, not the Pantheon side. So like they had knocked that down and, you know, yeah, I knew that from, you know, a big tournament that I did the day before. And I was really waiting to see who's going to stumble upon it. And yeah, it turned out to be Team Channel Fireball, which they're good at that. They have Ben Stark fucking feeding them info. So go figure. And then, you know, day two comes down and that draft happened, but one of the things that they did starting in day two, which I really liked, I don't know what you thought as part of their coverage, is that they have like this King of the Hill seat.
Yeah. Where you win, you stay there.
Right. Like, you know, the winner of this match stays in this seat until somebody knocks them out of that seat. And I really thought that was really cool, especially because, you know, the winner of this tournament, he's in that seat day one, round one. At the next Pro Tour. They've already announced that. Like he obviously qualified for the next Pro Tour. Well, they're just gonna start with him. And if he can sit there and stay in the feature area all day if he goes undefeated. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little, tiny little things that, you know, the coverage has gotten better. There's no question about that. I think it's gotten a lot better at that. But there's just some really cool little features that they've added, and this is one of them where it's just like, you know what? If somebody does really well and they stay in that seat all day, you get this opportunity to really root for somebody to see if they stay there, or if you just don't like the fucking dude, you can sit there and really root against them. Maybe you just get tired of them being there, so you just, and yeah, I think it's really, really cool.
For sure. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, I really thought that was a neat inclusion. Did you catch any day two matches that you'd like to talk about? I fell asleep after the draft, I'm not going to lie.
Not particularly. I mean,
nothing crazy happened while you was watching?
No, I mean,
day two was boring, darn.
I loved watching Owen Turtenwald draft on day two. That was definitely the highlight for me.
Yeah, I mean, I really was like, ugh, when I saw Harry sitting across from him, I'm like, that's not the pod you want to be in, dude. You know, no, like, maybe you can go 2-1.
What's up? He had Owen drafted a sick white base deck.
Yeah, he did. The Team Channel Fireball definitely had all of that figured out as far as that goes.
I was surprised by some of the decks. Obviously, I mean, Deathrite Shaman being gone, a couple things were able to, show up. Storm is much better now.
Yeah, Storm got much better, and they actually, had a win percentage of, 59%, and it was the best win percentage on the weekend, so.
Well, 3% of the field was playing it, so, but that 3% of the field was John Finkel, William Huey Jensen, and a few of the other guys, older pros.
Yeah, Kai Buda, I believe, was on it.
Kai Buda was on it. So I think that goes a long way to explain.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely, you know, gives you a percentage point or two, no question.
They were the 3% of the field playing the deck, and Finkel was wrecking house with it. I think he did really good in the modern portion. If it weren't for, I think he went 1-2 or something in the drafts, he very easily could have top eighted this.
Look, play skill, yes, you do earn a few percentage points there, but I mean, it's still worthy to note that, you know, 59.7%.
And living in behind it at 55%, living in is another deck that got better without Deathrite Shaman.
Right.
Oh man, like yeah, Living End, Michael Hetrick was killing it with Living End if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, Living End is just one of those decks. It's it can be a real pain in the ass. That was followed by Hexproof Auras. And the funny thing about Hexproof Auras is short of Craig Wesco, I believe most of TCG, Team TCG was actually on this. So, you know, that was the deck that Harry piloted. I know that.
Yeah, that's the Slippery Bogles deck.
Yeah, Boggles. They call it Hexproof Auras. It's Boggles, guys.
There's a Hexproof deck that's been 4-0-ing some dailies lately in Standard that looks kind of spicy, man. It's green, white, splashing red for a little bit of, madcap skills.
That makes sense. You know what? I've heard of this. I actually have heard of this deck. Yeah. The madcap skills.
That's pretty sick, man. It just came back out of nowhere and has been 4-0-ing. I don't know. I might give it a try. I don't know. It seems fun.
Madcap skills is pretty good right now because like a lot of the, a lot of the plans are, you know, a lot of shit in one basket, basically. It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm playing green-red monsters, so really it's like I have maybe a mana dork or two early, and then I'm really waiting until turn 4 or 5 to play one creature. And it's like, oh, that's a madcap skills. I can't block until turn, you know, 4 or 5. I could be fucked here, you know.
Green-red monsters can run you over with threats, man.
It sure can, but a madcap skills on a 3-3 is also something.
Yeah, and that's the thing is madcap skills gives you the time to get through the blockers that some of these decks are presenting. Yeah, I could see it being pretty good right now.
Yeah.
I was real surprised that of the top 8 performing decks win percentage-wise, I was shocked that Affinity was the aggro deck in there.
Yeah, it really turned out to be the aggro deck because a lot of the Zoo players were coming with a bigger version of Zoo because they was expecting so much of the small Zoo. Yeah. And the big Zoo beats the small Zoo because it just outclasses it over time. But yeah, Affinity came in at just over 50%. Scapeshift was the last deck that came in over 50%. So every deck after that, folks, you know, well, Blue White Red Control actually came in at 54.43%, but it was only like, they only played 79% of the matches, and Blue Moon only got to play 73 matches, and it came in at 52.97, but that's just not enough of a control. Yeah.
No, Burn made a big showing. Burn had a lot of success.
Just got in with enough matches to qualify for their top list.
Yeah, 100. Twin made it. That's no big surprise. And 343 matches a Twin played is pretty ridiculous. Fuck Twin. Fuck Splinter Twin. And fuck anybody that plays Splinter Twin. And
Ryan doesn't like Splinter Twin.
No, seriously though, people say Birthing Pod needs to go, like, give me a fucking break. Birthing Pod's nowhere to be seen here, as far as top performing decks go. Like, give me a break.
Well, this is the data that you don't get to see on your week to week tournaments and at your random GPs. They usually don't throw this type of data out there where you can actually see how many players was on a deck. All people were seeing is top eights and they're going, oh, there's another pod deck fucking in the top eight, you know, winning it again. And they don't see how many players bring the deck and they just don't do well with it. But I mean, Twin, we're seeing it right here, only 48% win percentage. That's not good. Like, it's not that oppressive of a deck.
Well,
it can be beaten.
How many players were on it? I mean, not every pro is as good as the rest of them. I mean, there's
not every pro is as good as the rest of them, but you go to a GP and you look at the numbers and, you know, there's good pros and then there's fucking complete dirtles who just happen to live down the road who, you know, so, I mean,
let's look at the top eight and
we'll go over the top eight in a minute. I want to finish this, archetype stuff.
Okay.
And then, you know, these didn't make the list, but clearly Zoo showed up the most. They had 505 matches played and it only finished at 43%. Malirapod showed up at 45%, and Jund, which is really weird that Jund even, you know, kind of showed up. I know that Reed Duke was like, you know what? Jund isn't Jund anymore, so I'm just going to play Black Green. Yeah. But Jund showed up at 39.6%, and there was a lot of numbers there. Malirapod 263, Zoo 505, Jund 175, respectively. And those low numbers, a lot of those players never got to day two.
So Zoo and Splinter Twin were our most played decks. They were the most heavily represented in the field.
Yep, with Pod right behind it.
Yeah. So, I fucking hate Splinter Twin, dude.
I don't know, dude. I don't have a problem with the deck. I look at this, I know you said it's, before we started talking on the show, that it's not a eternal format. To me, it's an eternal format because it doesn't rotate. That's my definition of an eternal format, as a non-rotating format.
Yeah, my definition is just you could play cards from alpha, beta.
Yeah, I mean, people have different, you know, but like I said, you know, you're going to have combo decks, you're going to have control decks, you're going to have fair decks. And
I'm fine with combo. In fact, I mean,
dude, it's
the Valera Pod combo, for example, I like much, much more than Kiki Pod. Like, I'm glad.
Is Valera Pod. The deck itself, while it has a combo in it, is not a combo deck.
No.
You can win without it.
A lot of games come down to beatdown. I mean, Megan switched up and is her list and is running, gave Jacob Wilson's list a try. And I mean, fucking Gavinny Township is still a house.
It is. I mean, and that's
part ends up being like, I mean, you just get to a board state or something where it's got Gavinny Township and it's game over. Like, I just, when it comes to Splinter Twin comboing off though, it's like, hey, I'm tapping four mana, I win the game. It's like big fight.
That's a combo deck though. I mean, the same thing goes with like Living End.
I think a lot of thought goes into assembling the Malira Pod combo. Like,
yeah, but I don't consider that a true combo deck. It's not a true combo deck is, I'm all in, I win with this card. If I can't get this card to resolve, I can't win. That's a combo deck. What Malira Pod is a very synergistic deck that happens to have a combo in it.
Yeah, I just fucking hate Splinter Twin, man.
If you want to just look at, you know, the top deck archetypes, Storm and Living End perform so much better than Splinter Twin. Splinter Twin is not that good. And Storm and Living End are both clearly just combo decks. I mean, Storm is just like, doop, 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 turn two win, turn three win, turn four win. I mean, it can literally do all of those. And Living End is kind of in the same vein. It's like, as soon as I hit my Cascade spell, I can go off and win this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That just, none of those, and I've lost to those decks, and it's never felt as, it just doesn't feel it. Like, I don't know, Splinter Twin feels dirty, man. Like,
some combos feel worse.
It's not a fun combo. It's fucking, like, beating down with a bunch of, like, Deceiver X arcs or whatever. Like, give me a break. Like,
hey, man.
Fuck it.
Just for it. If you don't have them, that's, you know, nobody's problem. Dude, an Echoing Truth wrecks that deck. Or pisses them off to know.
I run two Spellskites main. Just
that alone right there. Like Spellskite. Yeah, you're not targeting your shit. You're going to target my Spellskite.
Yeah, that's how much I hate fucking Splinter Twin that I've fucking devolved to running two of those main.
I don't think that's a bad call. I mean, you're making, I mean, that's a large portion of the metagame. I mean, you might as well concede a spot or two to a large, you know, to any deck that's a large portion of the metagame that you have a bad matchup against. Like, it's just, and I know when you lose to it, you know, it is a little angering. It's like, fuck, if I'd have just had my Spellskite, if I'd have just had that. But
kind
of combo decks. I mean,
it's like, I know it, the next Modern FNM, I'm going to have to put Aether Sworn Canonist back in the sideboard because everyone saw, oh my God, John Finkel was on Storm and Storm did really good. And
yeah,
Storm is going to be at events. Like, I'm just going to have to put the Canonist back in. And that's a card like, I really hate fucking having to have slots for that in my board, but.
One of the big things, and it's kind of weird, like, as far as changes goes, I mean, like, with the return, and you have to be honest, Wild Mikado had more of an impact on this format than Bitter Blossom did. Flat out, plain and simple.
Oh, I knew it would.
Jund is not a viable deck because they were running Pyroclasms and you need Anger of the Gods now.
It's much, much better, it's much easier to figure out the Mikado tech when this unbanning. It's gonna take a little while, and Bitter Blossom is still a house, dude. Like I said, it is 4-0-ing dailies, show up in several of the top modern decks here. Just because it didn't top 8 doesn't mean it didn't do good. Like, Zoo didn't top 8 either.
Zoo warped the format. I mean, it just, like, Anger of the Gods is now a must play, where before it was like Pyroclasm.
Anger of the Gods is really fucking good in modern right now.
Yeah, you almost have to play it, though. You cannot get away with dealing 2 damage. Like, you need 3. And the RFG is pretty relevant.
Yeah, Anger of the Gods fucks my deck. Like, it just bends it over and fucks it.
Well, you like it, though. You like it.
No, I fucking hate Anger of the Gods, man. So, yeah. It's really rough on my deck.
So, we get into Sunday. The top eight is set. Our top eight is Sean McLaurin. Congratulations to him on finishing.
Yeah, McLaurin on control, yeah.
Yeah. He finished 2 days, and he went ahead and was just like, you know what? I'm going to be the best deck at the end of 2 days. Let's see how he does in the finals or in the bracket. Because, you know, as we like to say, typically when you finish the Swiss in first, you lose against the number eight seed who happened to be Tim Rivera.
That's the FEG curse.
Yeah. So Sean McLaurin gets by Tim Rivera 2-1.
On twin, which was, I was so happy to hear that a twin deck fell. So that's one down.
Christian Siebold versus Patrick Dickman. And Dickman wins that 2-1.
Tarmo twin. Interesting list he's on.
Then we have Li Shitian versus Ansi Ioka.
And your deck falls, buddy.
Yeah.
Blue moon falls.
You know what? It was a bad matchup for him. So he's just 2-0.
Yeah, the twin deck didn't really care about Blood Moon.
Not as much. Jacob Wilson versus Chris Fennell, and Jacob Wilson wins that 2-0. So we have
the first player, by the way, the first player in a PT top eight, by the way, that is younger than the game itself.
Yes. And this was his first pro tour.
Pretty impressive. Seven of these guys, actually, I thought I heard something like seven of the eight in the top eight was their first pro tour.
I don't think it was first pro tour. I know it was their first pro tour top eight.
Okay. It was seven that had never been to the top eight. Okay. Yeah,
like Jacob Wilson, I mean, he's what, like 18? He's been wrecking legacy on the, SCG circuit.
Yeah, he's a big time grinder for sure out of California, I believe.
And you gotta give the kid credit, cause normally when you think of your legacy player, you think of some old dude like me who's been playing the game forever and, you know, has played with these cards, you know what I mean? He doesn't have to read them all over a million times. Like, yeah, he's not that player, man. Like, he just learned the cards and he learns them as he plays. It's pretty impressive. Jacob Wilson, he moves on to the finals after beating Ansi 2-1. So then we have the Dickman versus,
as soon as I heard Dickman, by the way, was in the top eight, I was like, that's it. Dude's got it. I mean, he's a fucking beast at modern, just a fucking beast. But so is Sean, McLaurin, big time MTGO grinder. I think he's got he'll be in the mocks coming up. Yeah, and McLaurin, I didn't know before this tournament, I guess, how good he is at Modern also, but this would have been my dream finals is those two, like, just two Modern experts. Swear, yeah. If you know what I mean?
So McLaurin does move on, and see, this was a little different for the Pro Tour than usual. Up until this round, it was best 2 of 3.
Yeah, boo.
Normally it's 3 of 5 for the whole top, you know, the whole Sunday bracket. They changed it this time. It was best 2 of 3. I really like the 3 of 5 in the Pro Tour the whole way.
Yes, it's so, the drop. There's so much more drama when it's out of five, man. It really is. It builds the suspense. Like,
it really brings the sideboards into place so much more as well.
Yep. It really does test your skill. Like,
you can't just steal a game to win a bad matchup post sideboard. Like, if you steal a game, so what? Like, if you steal a game post sideboard, like, so what? My deck's still better than yours. I'm still going to win this matchup. I really like the 3 of 5 better.
And this is a standard. This is Modern where it matters so much more if you're on the player draw.
Yes, it does.
You got to change your sideboard around to match that. Am I on the player the draw? And those five games really test that. Really test that skill.
Yeah, it does. But in the finals, they did go 3 of 5, and it was Jacob Wilson versus Sean McLaurin. So we have basically the two boogeymen of the field. Correct. What was Wilson on?
Maliripod.
Yeah, so we have the two boogeymen. We have twin, correct?
No, he was on, blue, red, white control.
Oh yeah, it was the control, it wasn't the flash, right? So we have, the blue, white, red control from Sean McLaurin versus Jacob Wilson's Maliripod. And I'm happy to say Sean McLaurin wins this 3-2.
Yeah, some bad beats for, some bad beats for Wilson in a couple of those games.
I don't know, Ryan. It was some bad beats here and there, but bad beats are created when you play against control decks, and he still walked away with 20 grand, so it's not like he had a bad weekend.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. And McLaren is a hell of a modern player, and he was a lot of fun to watch playing this deck. It was pretty sweet. I liked his interview afterwards they did with him. He had a... what's it called? The cryptic in hand and just knew that it was over.
It was over. Yeah. Yeah. I did actually get to watch the finals that day and I'm just like, this is over. Like, it doesn't really matter what Wilson does at this point. Yeah. He has the answers just sitting there in his hand.
It was like one of those, like, if you're a control player, like, it was like one of those, like, aha, like just the feeling you get playing control when you know it's over. Like, there's this gives you that, you know, that little peace of mind that control players love.
Yeah. Where it can go to turn 12, but you knew in turn 4, you won the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that, you know, you're chilling. You're just sitting back. You're just, you know, making sure the other dude doesn't cheat and you're all good. So,
hey, this is a pro tour. We have changed our format as the Pit Ips recently where we're just going to pick a couple decks to go over on these tournaments, but fuck this. This is a pro tour. We're going to go over the entire top eight. So if Jacob Wilson's Malira Pod, Gavinny Township was, you know, the big land of note in his deck where those +1/+1 counters are real, man. You can win a game off of a birds, and I saw it on this weekend.
Oh, I knew it happens in my living room all the time.
Wow. Well, yeah. So the creatures that he chose to run was 4 birds, an Eternal Witness, 4 Kit K-Finks, a Linvala, Keeper of Silence, Malira, 2 Murderous Red Caps. You know, that way he has all the combos right there. You see those. But then he also has 3 Noble Hierarch and Orzhov Pontiff, which I saw blow out a game at some point. I don't remember exactly where. Quasi Pride Mage, a Ranger of Eros, a Revelark, a Scavenging Ooze, a Shriek Maw, a Spellskite, a Viscerous Seer. Hey, that's how you finish off your combo. That's his sack outlet.
Yep.
2 Voice of Resurgence and 2 Wall of Roots. So he got some spells in here too. Not many. 4 of them obviously are Birthing Pods. 2 of them are Abrupt Decay and 3 of them are Court of Callings, which essentially are almost like Birthing Pods.
So good.
Oh, dude, Cord's great.
So good. Yeah.
I played Cord back at original Ravnica and love the card. And it's still really just a good card. I mean, it was Green Sun Zenith before Green Sun Zenith.
I love this pod list. Megan's been giving it a run. I prefer, Sam Party or Timothy Simino, I like the Archangel Spike Fear combo in there as well.
Once you add those, I think you become more of a combo deck and less of just a natural, like, resiliency deck. You know, like, this is almost like a toolbox deck. Like, it has all the answers.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a matter of you going and getting it.
Yeah.
Where
Shriek Maw, I'm pretty sure Shriek Maw is usually a sideboard for this deck. Quasali Pride Mage is generally a sideboard for this deck.
No, Pride Mage is usually played.
I know it's played, but I'm pretty sure it's usually in the board.
I don't know. I've seen it both places. Linvala is usually in the board.
Yeah, that's also true. Sure. He is running a Spell Sky, which, you know, and, no Phyrexian Metamorph though.
Yeah, well, I mean, a Spell Sky, that's his concession to Twin, I suppose.
I love this list though. It's been a lot of fun to watch. It was fun to watch and yeah, I just didn't get it done. So
yeah. So his sideboard was in Tumor Exarch, a Harmonic Sliver, you know, cause you got to destroy enchantments. That's a big card for it. A Kataki's War's Wage, 1 Obstinate Baeloth, 2 Path to Exile, a Scavenging Ooze, a Sin Collector, 2 Slaughter Pack, 4 Thoughtseize, and a Voice of Resurgence. You want to go over Christian Siebold's Affinity deck there, Ryan?
Let's see. This is Affinity. I don't see. He's at, I don't know. Is there anything new here in this Affinity list?
No, but, you know, I do want to actually go over every one of these just because this is PT.
The 16 lands, the blink, 4 Blink Moths, 4 Dark Steel Citadels, 3 Glimmer Voids, and 4 Ink Moth Nexus, 1 Island, straightforward Affinity lands. He is running 4 Arcbound Ravagers.
Honestly, it's not completely straightforward. I've seen red instead of blue here and there. That's recently we was talking about. He's running red, not blue. What the fuck?
Yeah. He has three Etch champions, one Master of Ethereum, three Mimnites, four Ornithopters, four Signal Pest, three Steel Overseers, and four Vault Scourge.
Yep.
Let's see. His spells, four Cranial Plating, because it's probably the best card in the deck. Galvanic Blast, four Mox Opal, four Springleaf Drum, four Thoughtcast, and one Welding Jar.
There's no probably about that. Cranial Plating is what makes this deck really go.
Cranial Plating is the fucking nuts.
That's the backbone of the deck in all truth.
Yeah, it's the nuts. His sideboard, two Ancient Grudge, one Blood Moon, one Edge Champion, one Galvanic Blast, one Master of Ethereum, two Relic of Progenitus, one Spell Pierce, two Spell Skite, two Thought Seize, one Torpor Orb, and one Whip Flare. Bunch of one ofs. Seems good.
Yeah, I mean, the Whip Flares probably wasn't as good as it has been in past tournaments. With the
Anger of the Gods is
just, you know, superior.
Better, yeah.
So we have Storm from Chris Fennell, and his lands are, you know, a bunch of blue and red with fetches. Don't really need to explain anything more. Goblin Electromancer.
Yeah, how does Todd beat this deck is more like what I want to know.
Sometimes you just stumble.
Yeah, because Wilson facing this in the quarterfinals is like, there's like, how does I just didn't think it was a winnable matchup for Pod, but yeah, you're right. I mean, sometimes you stumble. I just didn't think this deck gave a shit about Pod, so.
Well, Pod has a lot of strange answers to it that, you know, it's hard to see on the surface, but like, cards like Sleight of Hand can be shut off if you can't target your opponents.
Okay.
Is it Sleight or, yeah, I think it's Sleight. Or is it Faithless? No. Pretty sure it's Sleight that is the one that can be shut off because if you just can't target your opponents. There's just all kinds of strange little interactions to this deck that, and sometimes it does just stumble. Four Desperate Rituals, three Faithless Looting, four Gataxian Probe, three Great Shot, two Lightning Bolt, four Manamorphose, three Past in Flames, four Pyretic Ritual, four Pyromancer's Deception, four Serum Visions, four Sleight of Hands. No, it's not Sleight of Hand. It was actually, I was thinking of one of the other Storm decks is running something that for the life of me, I can't think of at the top of my mind. Anyway, you know, sometimes this deck does stumble. If it doesn't, if you can get a Goblin Electromancer out like turn two, you can actually go off and win that turn with a perfect hand and with another perfect hand. I heard it said it can be done. It's like,
I heard Finkel say turn three and he did do it.
Three is 25% of the time from what, who was the Storm player that I was listening to? They did a interview with. Two is possible. It's not something you can expect or anything like that, but it's possible. How? Don't ask me. I'm not that good of a player. But turn three is like 25% of the time, and then like turn four is almost 50% of the time you can go off.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is. Basically what you're doing is you're just cycling, hitting them with a huge grape shot with a couple Pyromancer's Ascensions. And you just end games. He has a sideboard consisting of two Anger of the Gods, three Defense Grid, one Echoing Truth, three Empty the Horns, a Lightning Bolt, three Swan Songs, and two Torpor Orb. I really like Echoing Truth. So, Tarmo Twin by the Dick Man.
Dick Man.
Go for it, Ryan.
Tarmo Twin. Yeah. Okay, let's see here. Lands, nothing really. Nothing of note, really. Four Scalding Tarns.
Hinterland Harbor is an interesting choice. He could just run Breeding Pools, but he chose not to take the extra damage. I think that's worth noting.
Yeah, for sure. His creatures, three Deceiver Exarch, three Pester Mite, two Scavenging Ooze, four Snapcaster Mage, and four Goyfs.
Okay, so he has a backup plan if his combo doesn't work. I like seeing that.
And it worked. There were some pretty huge Tarmogoyfs and Scavenging Oozes at some points. Let's see, two Cryptic Command, because you got to. One Electrolyze, two Flame Slash. That's a fucking good card.
Yep.
Two Gataxian Probe, four Lightning Bolt, four Remand, four Serum Visions, four Splinter Twin, four Remand. That just got reprinted, I heard, in some.
Yeah, actually, I think the new art's there. If you scroll over it.
No, that's the one from the old, RTR or whatever, or Ravnica.
No. I have plenty of, remands from Ravnica, and that's not what I'm staring at.
Huh. I don't know. That's the symbol on the card.
Okay, then you're getting a different one popping up than I am. Mine has a dude with a scroll standing there and a big hole.
No, yeah, that's not what I'm seeing. That's weird. Yeah,
awkward.
I fucking hate Splinter Twin, so I'm glad you, thanks for making me go over this list.
This is Splinter Twin, but this is actually closer to Pod than Splinter Twin, to be honest, because this actually has a backup plan if the combo doesn't work.
Yeah, it's different. It's different. His sideboard is fucking nuts. Look at this. Two Ancient Grudge. Two Anger of the Gods. This is where it gets crazy. One Batter Skull, one Combust, one Counterflux, one Dismember, one Dispel, one Engineered Explosives, one Nature's Claim, one Negate, one Scavenging Ooze, one Spell Skite, one Sword of Feast and Famine. What the fuck?
Told you this is an Eternal format, man. That's what sideboards look like in Eternal formats. And you know what? A lot of these decks are like that. McLaren's deck.
I like my twos and threes, man. I, even in my modern deck, I don't, that's just, I like my twos and threes.
You know what? I've gotten used to running Miser One Ofs, and I actually like the Miser One Of, but that's just me. I never
expect to hit it.
See, I always seem to hit it, so I don't mind running them.
I guess I'm one of those number freaks, like, I would much rather like increase my odds of hitting something than
No. I fully understand that. The thing is like, okay, he has a little bit to bring in against every deck. He's playing more against the field and he says, my deck's good enough against the field that I should be all right. Yeah. But I will, you know, just, you know, make the concession to, you know, a little bit for every deck and just add one ofs here and there. And if I get them, then I know that I should be good. But if I don't get them, I know I still have a really powerful deck. And that's where, you know, I do kind of like that style. We have Sean McLaren's list here. It's pretty good. The winner, he's running four Celestial Colonnades. That's really worth talking about. That card just does not get bad.
I bet that card did more damage as a creature than any other creature did over the weekend.
I know it did more than any creature he has, because his creatures are four Snapcasters and a Vidillion Click.
Yeah.
A, one. He has an Anger of the Gods. He has three Cryptic Commands. He has three Electrolyze, four Lightning Bolt, four Lightning Helix, four Mana Leak, three Path to Exile, two Remand, one Spell Snare, and two Sphinx's Revelation, which is kind of neat because a lot of people said it was too slow for the format.
Man, three Electrolyze surprises me too. I don't think that card is that good.
That card is good.
I don't think it's that good in Modern.
Oh, dude, that card is so good. No,
I know it's a good card, but I'm just saying in the metagame right now, like in some of the deck techs they did, a lot of players were like, yeah, I should have, like, that's like way too many Electrolyzes. I just think people realized this weekend it's not that good in the meta.
I mean, yeah, in a true control deck like this though, where you're countering a lot of the creatures or just, you know, burning them away, that a lot of time is two to the face draw card.
Says draw a card. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, if I'm just going to throw two at your face and draw a card, I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I mean, draw a card is the best line of Magic, so...
Yes, it is. And then he has two of Johnny Vengeance here, which this is the best of Johnny ever created. This is one of the best Planeswalkers ever made. I think it's probably third.
We got to see it ultimate.
I have seen it ultimate before. I've done it.
Saw it in the finals.
Yeah.
What was that, game three or four? I don't know. Maybe it was...
Yeah, it was one of those games. But what it does is it destroys all lands target player controls.
Dude, that was fucking nuts.
Yeah, and I love this card because I've done that myself, and it's a -7, so it's not easy to do. But if they're on a plan where they have, like, a big creature to just tap, tap, you just continually tap it. Like, that doesn't untap. I'm going to tap it again. Yeah, that doesn't untap. I'm going to tap it again.
That's what did to Jacob Wilson.
And before you know it, you're just like, ha-ha, -7. Now you're pretty much dead. Because when you have no lands and nothing on the board, you can't live. With a sideboard that consisted of a bunch of one-ofs, Anger of the Gods, Celestial Purge, Counterflux, Crucible of Worlds. Crucible of Worlds. Yeah, I said that. Why? Because you want Tectonic Edges back. Is it Static Caster? Logic not. Logic not. Okay, this is from, I want to say, originally... Fuck, what set was this from? Not Time Spiral, but one of the ones that followed right after it. Delve. You may exile any number of cards from your graveyard as you cast this spell. It costs X less to play for each card, you know, you exile this way. It's 2 blue and X. So you really can knock its counter target spell unless its controller pays X. So you can basically empty your graveyard and be like, 15. and obviously they can't pay that. Peripheral Nodes, he has two of.
Oh, this card is so good.
This is a Planar Chaos card that when it came out, everyone went, this card is garbage.
No.
Nope. So at the beginning of your upkeep, destroy the creature with the least power. It can't be regenerated. If two or more creatures are tied for the least power, you choose which one of them. When there are no creatures in play, sacrifice Peripheral Nodes.
And this guy played this fucking masterfully too. At the beginning of his upkeep, with the trigger on the stack, he realizes dude's got like one creature left. So he activates his Celestial Colonnade, kills Wilson's dude.
Yeah.
Bill gets to keep his Peripheral Nodes for Wilson's next creature.
Yes. Is it Static Caster?
He's looking at a handful of dudes going like, fuck.
I do like the Static Caster in the sideboard. Like, there's a concession to the Bitter Blossom. You know, if you do play one, yeah, I'm just going to play this, tap, or kill everything.
Tokens in general. I mean,
yeah.
You better, I mean.
Well, not any tokens because a lot of them get bigger.
Well, yeah, you can hit them before they get pumped. But
it's really good against fairies. So we have two Relic of Progenitus. We have two Stony Silence. Okay, back to one of us. Threads of Disloyalty, which showed up in a big way this week. One Timely Reinforcements and one Wear and Tear. Yep. Nice build.
Threads won on the Pro Tour.
I'll go over this next one because I know you don't want to, but I really want to go over the next, the Blue Moon deck. I guess I'll go over the next two unless you want to go over, Blue Red Twin.
Blue Red Twin, it's your typical Blue Red Twin deck. He is running a Desolate Lighthouse. I think that land is so shitty. Yeah, nothing else of note. Four Exarchs, one Kiki Jiki, two Pesters, four Snapcasters, one Spellskite, and two Ain't Nobody Fucking With My Vendilion Clicks. Let's see, spells, two Cryptic Command, one Dispel, two Electrolyze, one Is It Charm, four Lightning Bolts, one Peak.
Worth noting.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Well, I'm wondering why not Gitaxian Probe? I don't know.
Because you can use Peak at instant.
That's fair. Three Remand, four Serum Vision, one Spell Snare, and four Splinter Sluts. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I the whole Peak at instant thing is the reason, because he's not worried about the blue mana. He's going to have that.
Man, that's really fucking sweet. I've never heard of that card.
Yeah, last time it was out was, I want to say, 10th edition. But if you have ever played Duels of the Planeswalker, I think the first or second version, it was in the Nicol Bolas deck.
That's pretty dope.
I used to play a lot of Peaks. I like the card.
Yeah. Let's see. Sideboard. Three Ancient Grudge. Two Rack Skull.
Okay.
Two Blood Moon.
Yep.
One Dispel.
Mm-hmm.
Two Flame Slash. Two Grim Lava Mancer. Two Relic of Progenitus. And one Threads of Disloyalty.
Grim Lava Mancer is not what it used to be.
No, but it's still good.
Okay, so that was a more basic version of the twin deck there. There's really no backup in my eyes short of combo, or I lose, right? Yeah. So we have Li Shitian's Blue Moon. Good old Johnny Angel and the Halos there. Yeah, I went that far back.
old.
I am. So he is two Master of Waves. Three Snapcaster Mages. Those are his creatures. It's all you need.
You couldn't, Leashy, you couldn't give us fucking one more Snapcaster Mage, bro. Just.
Dude, I'm so happy to see Snapcaster back, and that would have not happened without Deathrite Shaman being gone.
Snapcaster did get a lot better.
It got a whole fuck ton better.
That's another card I'm like, that's not ban worthy, like. I mean, it literally, like...
Blue's good again. I'm loving it.
Doubles every spell in your deck. I mean, you got eight Lightning Bolts now. You got... It's just fucking crazy. Snapcaster is fucking...
It's like, really good, which is why Blue got neutered so bad during Standard.
It pushes it. It does push the limits on power.
But if it wasn't for that, I don't think these Blue decks would be nearly as resilient. And, I like Tapping Islands, so I'm sorry. So we have two Batter Skulls.
Snapcaster is a cool card, and it's a control card that you can still be very interactive with. You can pick and choose what you're taking out of the graveyard. You know, you got to watch what you target. Like, you got to
skill testing. There's no question about it.
Yeah, but it's it's not one of those control cards that your control opponent plays and you're like, you know what I mean? Like, I never got really pissed off about it. Like, it's just, you gotta play around Snapcaster Mage, and it kind of adds a dynamic to the game that just makes playing, it just makes control feel better. Like, it's a better experience than just like someone going off with Splinter Twin, like just having four mana. And
man, you just really have an issue with Splinter Twin. Anyway, his spells. He has two Batter Skull, two Cryptic Command, four Lightning Bolt, two Mana Leak, three Remand, four Serum Vision, four Spell Snare, two Threads of Disloyalty, two Vapor Snag, and two Videlkin Shackles, because he's a bunch of islands, 10 of them. 10 basic islands. Now, there's also a couple more cards in there. Four Blood Moon.
Four
of them. He's not fucking around. So non-basic lands are now mountains. And in case you do get a fucking mountain, and you needed that mountain, he just goes, yes, Spreading Seas. Or not a mountain, but if you get any basic land. He just goes, yes, Spreading Seas, it's blue, you can't use it anymore. That is fucking brilliant.
Yep.
It just shuts off a whole player's lands. It's just as good as ultimating fucking a Johnny.
Yeah, I felt bad watching, like, the opponent when this deck was on camera.
Yeah, you know what this deck is really bad against, though? Affinity. It almost folds to it.
Yeah, I mean,
I just don't care about the Blood Moon.
No, really doesn't, and it's just a ton of threats.
Yep, Threads is decent against it, but eventually those things get out of hand. This is a very well put together control deck. He has a sideboard. The sideboard is worth talking about. He has three Anger of the Gods. He has a Combust. You know, let's steal five damage to that big creature that I don't like, and you can't counter it.
They bring that back. Combust needs to be in the format.
It's a fair card. I think that should come back. I have no problem with that. I like hate cards like that. I really do.
Yeah.
There's Cryoclasm, which is very similar. You can destroy for two mana, you can destroy an island or plains.
Yeah. They're just like throwback cards to me to when I was like, would look at old cards when I was little and like the Circle of Protections and just the hate card. Like, I don't know, man. They have that old school flavor to them. I love it.
I like hate cards. I'm not going to argue with that. We have a Counterflux here. We have a Flame Slash. We have another Negate. We have two more Spreading Seas. We have two Vandal Blast. We have three Vidillion Clicks. And my favorite guy, Teferi, Mage of Zalafir. I've run many, many control decks where literally this was my only creature.
Yeah, it is fucking an awesome card, dude. And when Teferi was played, the chat blew up. Like,
against other control decks, it just shuts them down.
Yeah, but I mean, like, people love this guy, man. Like, Teferi's a bad motherfucker, dude.
Oh, dude, this card is so good. It has flash, so you can play it, you know, after they tap out. And creature cards you own that aren't on the battlefield have flash, so any creatures that you have that might not have it gets it. That's not as big in this deck, short of the two Master Waves, I suppose, because the Vidillion Clicks have it, and so does the Snapcaster Mage. But each opponent can cast spells only, and I said opponent, only anytime he or she could cast a sorcery. So nothing of yours is getting countered, ever, 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 ever. You play this, if they can't kill it, this card alone with your counter spells takes over the game.
Yep.
It's fucking beautiful! And then we have a blue-white-red twin, which is, again, little differences here and there.
I like his spell package a lot.
Okay, go ahead, man.
Okay, well, let's see. And his lands, too. Four Celestial Colonnades.
Sweet.
Fucking good. That's pretty sweet here. 17 creatures, four Exarchs, three Kiki-Jikis. This is more what I expect, two or three. The one of in the last list I thought was a little weird. Four Restoration Angels. Because Kiki Jiki loves it. Two Snapcaster Mages and four Wall of Omens.
I love Wall of Omens. That is one of my favorite cards of all time.
I'm actually considering it, to be honest, man, I'm actually considering it in my Death and Taxes list.
Dude, it blocks a lot of creatures and it draws you a card.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. Like, I just don't know if I have the slots for it. But anyways, let's see his spells. I really like the spell package. Four Lightning Bolt, three Lightning Helix, four Path, just for those things my bolt doesn't kill. Four Remands and four Splinter Twins. Outside of the Splinter Twin, that spell package is mean. I like that a lot. Very straightforward. 15 sideboard cards. 3 Anger of the Gods. It seems to be everywhere. It was everywhere. 3 Dispel. 1 Engineered Explosives. 1 more Lightning Helix for the 4th one there in the board. 2 Sowing Salt. A card I've only ever heard Angelo talk about. I have no idea what this does, but.
Read it. It makes perfectly good sense once you read it.
So Sowing Salt. 2 colorless, 2 red. Remove target non-basic land from the game. Searches controller's graveyard, hand, and library for all cards with the same name as that land and remove them from the game. That is fucking nuts.
That's how you beat a Valakut, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty good. 2 Spell Sky, 2 Stony Silence, and 1 Wear and Tear. This twin deck I could get behind. Like I don't know. Seems like it's not too, like, it's still like 3 Kikis is pretty heavy on that, but I don't know, man. I wouldn't be surprised if this deck wins a lot with just Restoration Angel and then Snapcastering back your Bolts and Helixes and shit, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the backup plan on this Splinter Twin deck is a lot more solid than the other ones. And namely, I give it the edge over the Tarmogoyf one just because Resto Angel is a flyer.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, real quickly, I will try to explain Matthias Hunt's deck to you. You have a Boros Garrison. Which, yes, it's a Karu land. You have a Cavern of Souls. You have 3 City of Brass. You have a Forest. You have 4 Gemstone Mine. 2 Glimmer Posts. A Golgari Rot Farm. Another Karu land. 3 Grawl Turf. More Karu lands. A Selesnya Sanctuary. Again, a Karu land. 4 Simic Growth Chambers. Karu land. A Slayer's Stronghold. Now, for a tap this, for a white and a red, target creature gets +2/+0 and gains vigilance and haste until end of turn. This is important. A Sun Home, Fortress of the Legion. This will give your creature double strike for a white, a red, and 2. Tendo Icebridge because, well, 3 City of Brass hurts. 3 Talaria West. That is a transmute card. Ignore everything else that the card does. And 1 Vesuva. Okay. He has 4 Azusa, Lost But Seeking. Azusa lets you play 2 additional lands on each of your turns. As you saw, there was 28 lands there. You need lands. This lets you put them in play. 3 Simeon Spirit Guide. You can just, you know, remove him from your hand, have a red mana. 4 Primeval Titans. Okay. Amulet of Vigor. Whenever a permanent enters the battlefield tapped and under your control, untap it. Here's the thing.
That's not even fair in this deck.
No, with these Karu lands, when you play a Karu land, the Amulet of Vigor will go onto the stack. You can untap it, then retap it, and then return that land to your hand after the mana's in your pool. There's a window there where you can do that. So you can, you know, because what happens when you play a Boros Garrison is Boros Garrison enters the battlefield tap. When Boros Garrison enters the battlefield, return a land to your control that you control to your owner's hand. So with that ability on the stack of returning it, because it doesn't happen until it's actually in play, you can untap it with the Amulet of Vigor, retap it, and then return. Okay, and if you have something out like an Azusa, you can do that twice. 2 Hive Mind, because who doesn't want to play multiple copies of all of these packs? 2 Pact of Negation, 1 Slaughter Pact, 4 Summoner's Pact. Now, this is a combo that just ends games on its own. Like, you just, you know, I have a Hive Mind out, they're playing, you know, blue or whatever color, and I just Summoner's Pact the one that they can't tap for. And then when it goes back to their turn, they're dead because they can't pay the upkeep on it. We have 4 Summer's Bloom, which basically is Azusa, but better. But at sorcery speed, you may play up to 3 additional lands this turn. We have 4 Serum Visions. That's his main board. So what you're going to do is you have that little combo that I told you about with the Hive Mind and the packs. On top of that, you have the Primeval Titan thing. And if you can Sun Home them and Slayer Stronghold them, you can deal essentially 16 damage in a turn. And this is possible. Like, no joke. And the thing is, with all these Karu lands and the Amulet of Vigor, you can actually play a Primeval Titan like, yeah, remember turn 3? This is possible, you know? And I think a turn 2 or 3, you can actually Simeon Spirit Guide out your amulet, play your land. There's all kinds of crazy combos you can do with this deck. You really have to know your way around it. But essentially, you can play a Primeval Titan like turn 2, 3, And that's just too hard to deal with at that point. He has a sideboard of a Bajuka Bog, because, you know, sometimes you need to exile stuff. He has a Chalice of the Void, which is pretty damn good. He has 3 Fire Spout. He has a Ghost Quarter. 3 Ley Lines of Sanctity when you don't want to be, done in by targeting. 4 Seal of Primordium. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. That's kind of an important card. There are just some cards that just hose you, and this stops that from happening. A Slaughter Pact and a Thrag Tusk. So if you really have some fucking deep cojones, and you really want to learn a hard, uninteractive deck, knock yourself out. This is it. And it's not expensive.
This deck looks like it has a ton of play, actually.
It does, but and it's not expensive. There's a lot of lines of play inside of it, but it is very hard to play.
Yeah, for sure. Namely because, I mean, there's a lot of decisions. The Teleria West is really sweet with the packs. Like, I don't know, Hive Mind.
Yeah, I just want to go get a pack to win the game off of my Hive Mind.
Yeah.
So good. So fucking good. Reed Duke's Green Black deck is worth going over as well, because this is kind of where I think we're going to see Jun going. Yeah, they're just gonna ignore the red completely. We have a forest, we have 2 marsh flats, we have 2 overgrown tombs, 4 swamps, 4 treetop village, cause treetop village is fucking awesome. We have 4 twilight mire, 2 Uborg, tomb of Yawgmoth, 4 verdant catacombs, and a woodland cemetery. Creatures. Well, they're pretty much what you'd expect. 4 dark confidant, 4 kayfinks, 4 Phyrexian obliterator. Yeah, I didn't stutter. 4 Phyrexian Obliterator with no way really to cheat them in, short of Uborg. 4 Scavenging Ooze and 4 Tarmogoyfs. He has 3 Abrupt Decay, 4 Inquisition of Kozilek, 4 Liliana of the Veil, which I heard a lot of people say was not as good this week. I don't know. I heard a couple of the pros during interviews say that just this week it wasn't as good. I don't know. I don't see how this card isn't good.
See, I kind of heard something different, that it was they didn't think it would be, especially since Bitter Blossom got unbanned. Everyone was kind of like, well, Liliana's not as good now.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I heard, because they just overrun you, basically.
Yeah, and so she ended up just being as good as ever. And so people were like, yep, Liliana's still good.
Okay, so we have 2 Maelstrom Pulse, which is, you know, a bad Abrupt Decay, so why not? We have 2 Slaughter Pact.
It's got some upside on Abrupt Decay.
It definitely has some upside, but I mean, I don't know how to put it. Like, maybe I'm saying it wrong. Like, Abrupt Decay does what you want it to do 90% of the time. And like, Maelstrom Pulse is like, at instant speed. Maelstrom Pulse is like, well, I get to kill everything, I guess. And you know what? There is those things I just can't deal with. I guess it deals with those. Yeah. We have 2 Slaughter Packs. We have 2 Thoughtseize and 1 Victim of the Night.
I like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. 2 black, destroy target, non-vampire, non-werewolf, non-zombie. I can't think of any of them in the field.
Yeah, I don't know what zombie is a heavy part of the meta. Until a vampire, a werewolf, or a zombie is a heavy part of the meta, Victim of Night is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, really, the only one we're going to see is maybe at some point is Falconreath Aristocrat. Or maybe Olivia Vodarin as well, but.
Well, Jun's kind of falling off. But
Jun falling off, I think Victim's right.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking good.
His sideboard, he has 3 Creeping Corrosion, which destroys all artifacts for 4. He has 2 Deathmark, because sometimes you just need to kill certain things.
That art.
Next, I love that art. I've always loved that art. That was so much better than the Black Snowflake. 3 Fulminator Mage, 2 Grafdigger's Cage, another Kayfinks, a Sword of Light and Shadow, 2 Thoughtseize and a Thrun. Why? Because he can't be countered and he can't be the target of abilities or spells. And he regenerates. He's really good against control.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, that was the adaptation he made to Jun, where he was just like, I'm just not going to play Jun. I'm taking the red out. I'm going to go green, black. And dude, I like
a lot of people have been. I mean, Utter Layton has been a big proponent of the green, black mid range in modern. Okay. I mean, a lot, the Channel Fireball guys, some of them have been, you know, on that. It's not super popular or anything, but there is plenty of people running it, so.
I know in the top 8 we did not go over very many of them, but, in the blue, white, red flash deck, guys, there's your home for Geist of St. Traft. That's where it's sitting. That's where people are playing it.
Yeah, check out Jeremy Dozani's deck tech from the Pro Tour. He had a really sweet looking,
Yeah, he absolutely did. Yeah, check that out. Check out his list. You know, check out something. I actually just clicked off of his list, so I can't go over it with you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh, well. So one last thing for us to go over with this tournament before we wrap up the Pro Tour. I know that we've been talking Pro Tour for fuck over an hour already. I do like to just touch on these top five cards things.
Yeah.
So we'll just touch on the top five cards. Number five, Path to Exile. Makes sense to you?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you just need to kill stuff. Number four, Birthing Pod. Seems to make sense.
Yeah. No surprise there.
Number three, Anger of the Gods. We've talked a lot about that.
Yeah. It was a big, kind of a newer tech. Like, I think it was because a lot of people, especially the control players were like, well, Zoo's going to be a thing. So we're going to have to hit three, but also like just, you know, the creature decks in general, I think were real expected.
Yeah.
And Pyroclasm just doesn't do it.
Anger of the Gods also very good against Malirapod with the RFG thing. I mean, like that's...
That was relevant. That was very relevant in the finals. Exiling, A Voice of Resurgence and something else, like, was huge. So.
I mean, any of the, whether it's K-Figs or the, Murderous Red Caps to just get them gone. Hey, that sometimes could just shut down the whole combo. We have Steam Vents. Hooray, I love seeing that there. That's because, you know, Blue Red did really good in this tournament. I don't know if you noticed it won. And Threads of Disloyalty at number one. Because you can steal Scavenging Oozes, you can steal Walls of
Wounds. Oh, that won the Pro Tour, that's why.
Yes.
He won by stealing a dude, and so, yeah. But I want to give a big shout out too, to Jingwei Zheng for running four Blade Slicers in your deck, buddy. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, next week, just to close this Pro Tour part out, if Harry's back in town and feeling up to it, we've already talked to him about it. He said he's going to come on. But you know, things happen in a week's time that sometimes things, you know, don't work out. But Harry Corvese said he's going to be on here next week. We're really hoping that he's able to, because, I want to get his view on what happened over there at the Pro Tour, especially on day two, because he was right in the running at the end of day one. He was in the top 20 and he just fell day two. He had a bad day.
Yeah.
So we'll real quickly, like fucking record speed, explain what happened at, Star City St. Louis.
Yeah, we had an SCG St. Louis, won by, Jonathan Habel on Green Red Monsters. Do you want me to hit this top eight real quick?
Real fast, yep.
Okay, we have, Green Red Monsters in first, Blue White Control in second, Green Red Monsters in third and fourth, Jund Monsters in fifth place, Blue White Control in sixth, Green Red Monsters in seventh, and Mono Blue Devotion in eighth. Big surprise was Mono Blue not being able to, beat all the Green Red Monsters list in the top eight with four main deck tie binders, but whatever. The first place deck, I thought of Angelo when I saw this on camera, Jonathan Habel, Green Red Monsters. You'll notice something in his creature package different than what we've been seeing. So he's got four Elvish Mystic, four Gore Clan, three Oozes, four Storm Breath, three Caryatids, four Pelucranos, and everyone's been on this Corsair Krufix kick, but this guy said, fuck it, I'm a fan of Angelo, and I'm running three fucking Boonsaters.
He's a smart man, that's why.
I gotta say, man, Megan's Green Red Monsters, she runs the, Coursers, and like against Mono Black and some of the other decks, they just come out. They're just not, this deck, oh man, Boonstaters. So, and with Blue White Control making the comeback it has been.
Yeah.
Coursers just gonna sit there. You may see one or two cards, but.
Well, my thing with Corsair, and like, I do like a lot of the interactions that's there with Corsair, but.
You see a lot of, like,
it's. I think it's more along the lines of, if I know I want to be the beatdown, I'd rather go with Boonsader. I'm shocked not to see Xenagos the God in here. If he's gonna run the Boonsaders, I think if you're going to run the Prophets or whatever, I don't mind it not being in there, but like being able to flash out a Boonsader with, you know, the Xenagos ability, like I like that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a fan of some of his choices. He's got a Garrick, Caller of Beast, and three Xenagos. I don't know. We've cut down to two Xenagos ourselves and have even removed the Chandra. Garrick is just, this isn't, I don't know. I just don't think this is the deck for him. One Flesh Blood and three Mizzium Mortars. shit, I'd almost go 4 mortars, 1 flesh. Like, I don't know. 3 scavenging oods. Most people cut that entirely from this list, but hey, he won the tournament. It's
he won the tournament.
Blue-white control kind of made a comeback this weekend, but this monsters list, man, I'm telling you, I've been playing it. It's a fucking house with, Xenagod. It's absurd, man. The card's not even fair, dude. It's so fucking good.
Well, it probably helps that literally all of the good players, the really good players that they do show up at these tournaments, like Jared, Betcher, you know, so many of the SCG top players, they were over in Valencia, man.
Yeah.
So I'm taking a lot of these results today with a grain of salt.
Yeah, Chris Van Meter, though, big-time grinder, great player, finished fourth. Kent Ketter in fifth. He just took down an open the other week. He was on Jund Monsters, which is basically green-red, cutting all the Planeswalkers except the 4 Domries, and adding he added 2 Dreadbore. And, Sire of Insanity, Abrupt Decay, Golgari Charm.
Yeah, but I mean, if you were to just look over the player championship leaderboard at the top 16, over half of them were in Valencia.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know what I mean? So, like, I mean, as much as I do want
these guys, man, like,
no, I don't want to say, you know,
this was an 11 round tournament. That's a big
deal. A lot of people showed up, clearly. And, you know, congratulations to Mr. Hable. I mean, dude, you won. You got a big check. It's great. I have a hard time saying that these decks are all perfectly tuned at this point without the top tier players there.
I mean, I got my opinions on some of these. I think Green Red Monsters is definitely a fucking house, man, and you're gonna have to watch out for it. I know that's what Megan will be playing coming up this game day.
Sweet. So, the Legacy Open on Sunday, which apparently was won by Booker T. I don't know if you saw this guy's picture.
No. So that was like,
dude, he looks just like Booker T. He has the cup in the air like it's a microphone. I mean,
well, you know what? Fuck that dude anyway, because he beat my boy, a local grinder.
Hey, man. Don't talk to man.
Hey, he beat my boy Hayden. Hayden Passarelli. Big props, dude. The shot was sending out messages, for everyone to watch you in the top 8. And, it was pretty cool, man. Another local dude represents. So.
Well, you know what? After seeing who was playing what, we have, Greg Smith, our winner, on Painted Stone. I'd much rather see that win than Rug Delver.
Yeah, Hayden, it's okay. I'm still going to smash you in Standard, but you do your thing in Legacy.
Hell yeah. Awesome, dude. You know, congrats on the second place. I just don't like Rug Delver. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, no, but I wanted to give him a shout out. He knows about this show. He may be listening. So yeah, I told him we'd given him props. So
yeah,
I was completely about that. Yeah.
Good. I mean, dude, hell of a day. Way to show up. And, dude, second place. I mean, that's awesome. There's no way around it.
He deserves it, man. He's literally, if there's an event within, like, I wish I could say I do what he does. Like, I was too lazy, to be honest, to go this weekend.
Sounds about right for you.
I would have rode down with maybe some people and if there's an event within like 6-7 hours, man, he's there.
Okay.
And he's always at these things. He's got a ton of points on the year, on the season or whatever, and just hasn't broke through to top 8 yet, but, it's about time. I don't think this will be the last time he does it, so.
Well, we'll keep our eye on him, man.
He's a really good player, but.
We have 2 Deathblades. We have a blue, white, red Delver. We have lands. We have Shardless Bug. We have blue, white, red Delver. Death and Taxes in 9th, Maverick in 10th. That's as far as I'm going now.
Lands will not, is lands?
It's not going to. It's here to stay.
I mean, we've seen it like the last few, I'm like, is this a joke still?
Nope.
Like,
no, it's here to stay. It was already decent, and with the Thespian Stage thing, it's just gotten better. So it's just something we got to deal with. I'm sorry to all the competitors in the SCG Open. Time restraints just say we can't spend the normal time that we do on that. And, you know, the Pro Tour is clearly more important.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. But guys, for those of you who are going to game day with your green-red monsters deck to kick some fucking ass, you can possibly win a pain seer, as we've talked about before, and you're going to get a Cure's Follower, which is kind of cool, but you can also go up against the Minotaur Horde deck. It will be there and win yourself a Vanquisher. The Vanquisher looks like a cool card. It's not tournament legal, of course, but your starting hand size is increased by one, and so is your max hand size. So I guess that's cool, if you're into that.
I'm excited for game day. I'm not excited to, with my luck, I'll be called against Megan round one or something. That seems to be what fucking happens to me every time, but.
You know what? I was all excited about game day. I was ready to go do this. Like, I really wanted to. And like, I was even working on building that deck for game day. And then my basketball team did better than I expected.
Yay.
We're in the semifinals and I have to go coach, so I'm not going to game day.
That is what it is, man. That's better than game day. So
it could be, or it could be a lot worse. Trust me.
That's true.
Lord knows I might get teed up. It is, you know.
Well, you're still playing opponents from your division, right? Until the finals.
Yeah.
Well, you should be all right then.
Yeah. I mean, it looks fairly decent right now. I think we have a good chance of taking it. So this weekend should be fun. Who knows? So what have you been up to, DeBro?
Oh man, a whole lot of Magic. This weekend was a Magic filled house. Been playing a lot, testing things, having fun with that red white tokens build I posted on the Facebook page the other day. Just same old shit, man. Nothing much really. So can't say anything too exciting.
Boo. You're fired. You didn't do your homework again.
Hey, I watched the Pro Tour this weekend. I did.
Dude, that's a lot. You know what? I'm kind of in the same boat as you with that Pro Tour. That sucked up so much of my weekend.
Yeah, it really did. I've just been sitting around, sold quite a bit of cards on eBay. I'm starting to do the eBay thing and shit. So been busy licking envelopes and.
What are you under on eBay in case somebody wants to look you up to buy cards off you, man?
Voltron 420 Ryan, I think. I don't know, man. I'll post it on the Posse page. I don't know exactly what my username is. It's Voltron 420 Ryan. There.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, that's worth, you know, putting out there. I mean, if you're trying to sell some cards and make a little cash,
yeah,
why not let everybody know?
Message me. I've been throwing some stuff up. So just sold the last card I had up earlier today. So I think I got a foil Stormbreath Dragon, or not a foil, a foil Thundermaw Hellkite that's still up, that has a couple days left. But yeah, I've just been doing that and work. They got me in a new office this week, which is nice because they're doing construction in the other one. So like I'm just kind of like working out of a box right now. It's really annoying, but.
Yeah, you'll live with it.
Yeah, it's whatever. So I'm just grateful I'm not outside actually doing the labor and shit. Like our guys are fucking freezing right now, hanging siding and shit. So pretty rough.
Yeah, I bet. I know what that's like in this weather. Fuck that.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to fucking hang siding and like polar vortex shit. And
did Jin's guys get a melt this last week? Because we got a lot of melt.
We did.
It got warm as fuck and then it got cold as shit again.
Yep. It's freezing here. It was started to melt and then we got hit with snow again.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened here. Like we got like 3 or 4 real nice days. Like one day it almost hit 60 degrees. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then like, today I woke up, I looked out the window and the ground's covered in snow and I'm like, yes, that seems right.
Basically, yeah. what you been up to, man?
I have been, aside from spending almost my entire weekend watching Magic, I have been crushing me some drafts.
There you go.
Crushing some drafts. The triple board of the gods, while not fun at all, it is the easiest draft format I've ever fucking been in, dude. You first pick Loyal Pegasuses and Impetuous Sun Chasers, and you just beat everybody.
Literally,
you just beat everybody. You get a couple combat tricks in there, and then there's this one card that I always one of. It's the only 3-drop I'll put in my deck. But what it does is it gives your creature +2/+2. For the life of me, I can't think of the name of it because I suck at names of cards. But
you suck at names tonight, man.
Dude, I don't know why I can't think of it, but
it's your head in the game, bro.
Oh, my head's in the game. I fucking But like it gives a creature +2/+2, and then for a red and 2 colorless, target creature can't block it this turn. And when you're flying, it doesn't take too much mana to shut off the creatures you need to shut off.
Right, for sure.
And dude, like, I just keep winning draft after draft that way. It's fucking unreal. I also last Thursday got into a premier draft, one of those 64 player online drafts. It's supposed to be the big drafts, you know, only the best players are there and all that other stuff. I finished that in the third, fourth spot.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it was, Born of the Gods, Theros. I drafted, red, white to get myself into the top eight. And then in the top eight, I drafted, red, green. And really, I lost because I just didn't see any of my removal. Like, I lost literally to that 2-1, intimidate creature that, that when you untap it, you can pay three and put a 2/2 out. Literally, I lost to that card two games in a row. And it was only because I didn't see any of my removal. It's not that I didn't have it. I just didn't see it. And it beat me. I mean, what the hell are you going to do with that? I mean, the guy I lost to ended up winning it, so I don't feel bad. I got, what was it, like, I want to say 14 packs and 4 qualifier points or 5 qualifier points or some shit like that.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, or 12 packs and 4, I don't know, something like that. But it was like, okay, this is a good start. And then I took those, you know, 12 packs or whatever I had, and I just started doing triple because they give you nothing but Born of the Gods packs. So I was like, I'm just going to start doing triple Born of the Gods. And I keep winning those. So I'm up to something like 30-some packs. It's fucking absurd.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So, I mean, like, dude, I've been playing a lot of Magic. I went up because my basketball team had the buys this week. I went up and I actually, one of the teams, their coaches last week got into, and I didn't even hear about this until later in the week. So, like, it's why I didn't bring it up during the tournament. It was after my game. Uh-huh. Every coach on one of the teams got thrown out of the league.
Selling crack or what?
No, they started arguing with the refs, started throwing stuff at them, like put hands on them. Yeah, dude. And they was just like, you guys can't come back. So the guy who runs the league had to coach that team. So that means I had to go up there and work the scores table. So yeah, that's what I did for a while Saturday. And you know, I was like, well, I'm going to miss a few rounds of,
Right, and this is the team that you'll be playing.
Actually, yes, one of the games I will have to play against this team.
Ah, so you got an edge.
I would think. I would think. The other team we beat every time we played them this year, but they've gotten better. So it's one of those, you know, who knows? We'll see. I mean, I don't want my kids to get an overinflated head. I don't have one because I still don't think we're that good. And these teams can beat us. Like, we could lose, and it's realistic. If my teams don't come out and play the way I know they can, but I did get to scout the other teams really well. Like, the one team, literally, it's a two-player team. Every other player in the team does not matter. The rest of the team combined might score 4 points in a game. Might. That'd be a good day for them.
So just three-one their best player.
Well, what I'll do is I'll put my two best players on them and just tell them flat out, you just gotta play shutdown defense all day. You don't get a choice on it. You just have to play shutdown defense. And then I'll have a third player. I'll kind of put him in the middle. I'll have my two up front, and then I'll kind of run like almost a box. A three-man box in the center. And then I'll have, you know, one guy who flares out to double team whichever one of those two have the ball.
There you go.
So that's kind of my plan there. And then,
well, good luck, man.
And we'll see what happens. I mean, it's worth it. And then I got to scout the other team, and the other team's a little more balanced. I'm going to have to play them straight up. But if we play them straight up, and if my fucking point guard will stay home in the 3-2, he likes to, cause like I run a 3-2 and I run a trap, which essentially is the same setup on defense.
Okay.
But on the trap, you go out and you meet the player almost at the half court line, where the 3-2, you fall back and you don't engage him until he gets up to the 3-point line. You know what I mean? Like, you just figure he's not going to make a shot 5 feet behind the 3-point line. You'll give them that shot all day long if they want it. You know what I mean? Cause you're, I mean, 5-on-4 underneath, you should get that rebound. Especially because I have a decent rebounding team. So I'm like, I'll give you that shot all day. So if that player will stay home and actually stay where he's supposed to stay, and if they play the zone right, we should win that game as well. Like, I really think it's just going to come down to that.
Sweet. Well, yeah, best of luck, man. I'm fucking rooting for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I want another trophy this year. I'm not going to lie. I like trophies.
Who doesn't?
Aside from that, like, I switched my workup out this week. I've gone from, kind of just like normal weightlifting to what's, considered a cut phase, where literally, like, I'm damn near starving myself. I'm doing a ton of cardio, and instead of, as far as my weight program goes, instead of lifting weights normally, I have gone to low weight, high reps. So like what I'll do is like,
that's good for muscle stamina.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like cardio, but with weights. Like in my experience is a lot of people, when they switch over to their cut phase, they go straight to cardio and that's it. And they go real heavy cardio and then they lose muscle tone and get upset with that. So I add this in so I still can, you know, keep my muscle tone. And you know, it does increase your stamina and what have you. But you know, basically what I'll do is I'll just set the bar up. Instead of, you know, putting plates on it, I'll just set the bar up and, you know, do 100 bench presses as quick as I possibly can. Yeah, it's only 45 pounds. So what? Not that much weight. But, you know, when you're cranking out 100 of them as quick as you can, and then I'll get up from there and I'll go down and I'll grab, you know, two 20-pound dumbbells or 25-pound dumbbells. I'll grab them and I'll pump out real quick, like 40 of them as quick as I can on each arm. Then I'll switch to hammer curls as quick as I can, and I do this in a circuit. So I'm taking no break in between them. And
people, watch out. Angelo will have an infomercial soon. selling his techniques for the one girls in yoga pants surrounding him.
Oh, yeah. yeah, but I mean, like, I did that switch up. So I'm expecting, you know, within the next few weeks to see massive weight loss numbers.
There you go.
The plan is by Philly, I want to be, you know, taking my shirt off, even though it'll probably be cold.
Okay, you're going to take it off in the venue and shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, just look at my first round opponent flex and be like, I'll buy you and sell you like a bitch. Hey, you know, if I can intimidate, I'm going to intimidate. I mean, that's part of my look, you know what I mean? People say I'm scary. Well, fuck it. I'm going to use it to my advantage.
Yeah, that's fair, I suppose. I don't know.
it's not really fair, but fuck it. Everybody else uses it. I'm going to use it. It is a GP. It's not an F&M.
That's true.
You got any shout-outs?
Shout-outs, not really, man. Just the posse. We're almost there, guys. We're almost 200. Please get us there.
I think we're at 99.
Yeah, let's get there. Shout-out to Houston and the boys over at Tap and Sack. John,
man, fuck them guys.
What up, Kelso? Shout out to them. And, hey, shout out to everybody, each and every person. I was going to post this week, but I guess they already picked the winner. I was going to post the link to their page where you can vote. Thank you everyone that voted for my suggestion of Sacklings for the, Tavern Sack fans. We won the vote in a landslide.
That is awesome.
I'll call two votes a landslide, but we fucking won. And, yeah. So thanks, shout out to everybody that voted in that, not just for, Sacklings, but, you know, for all the other names also. And shout out to Houston for putting up with my suggestion and running with it. So way to go, Sacklings.
What about your boy? Shouldn't you give him a shout out too? He did finish second. I mean, he deserves a spot.
Yeah, I gave Hayden a shout out when we kind of went over that. Yeah, but yeah, shout out Hayden Passarelli and shout out to the Gaming Go and Armored Gopher Games here in Champaign Urbana. And yeah, I mean, people are doing it. So it's a tough, I mean, we got a guy like John Chang. I'll give him a shout out too. If you beat him in a constructed round of Magic, you get a free fake mustache from the shop.
Awesome.
I mean, that's just, the dude's just like, you know, he's that.
He's Asian. He's just better than you.
Yeah. no, he's a very, very good modern player. He plays modern every single week, which I play modern every other week, so I don't run into the dude that much, but.
Okay. I want to give a shout out to Buttercup, and this is a legit one. Not my normal shout out to Buttercup. He's going through some rough shit in his life right now, and you know what, dude, we're here for you.
We love you.
Yep. You want to chill, you want to talk, you know where to find us. At least you know where to find me, and Ryan's always on Twitter and what have you. You can private message him if it's something that you don't want to put out there, you know. to the world, but I mean, I got your back, dude. You know, I'm hoping for the best, all that other stuff. So definitely give a shout out to him. I want to give a big shout out to Mr. Corvese. It is his first Pro Tour day two. So congratulations to him, even though his day two did not go as well as his day one. You know, it's just like when you go to GPs, you take little steps, you get a little bit better at each GP you go to, you get a little more comfortable playing in them. And he took a big step. I can see him winning one with the way he's playing within the next year. I honestly could. He's just, I mean, he's going to these SCG events. He's wrecking house at them. I mean, he might not be winning, but he's consistently finishing really high in the standings. So I can really see that since he's taking a more serious approach and dedicated a little bit more of his life to this game, he has gotten much better. And I actually could see him winning one this year. So congrats to him.
He's definitely doing his thing, grinding, putting in the hours, doing what you gotta do to be successful. So it's just a matter of time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I really think so.
Harry's a smart dude. I mean, he definitely is, one that learns and continually grows. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really could see this happening. So definitely we're going to give a shout out to him for his best ever Pro Tour finish.
Yeah, yay Harry.
That's good, man. I mean, sure. When you really look back on it and you just put it in those terms, it's like, wow, that's really good. You know, you just leave the whole day two thing out and you just say best ever Pro Tour finish. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, Harry. shout out to all the posse, as always. Shout out to a new listener who should have been listening to us for fucking months. Uh-oh. But wasn't Mr. Stevan Raphael.
Okay.
He's one of those artist guys on Twitter. He didn't listen to us until we had Calvin on here, and then he was like, I'm embarrassed, man. I never listened to your show before. And I'm like, dude, you should have been listening to us forever. So a little bit of a busting of the balls there, but you know what? Big shout out to him. Thanks for, you know, finding us eventually and deciding to jump on and listen.
Yeah, for sure. Props, man.
I'm hoping, and I'm going to put this out there right now. Shout outs are over. The MTG cast.
Yeah.
I will explain what's going on in detail. They are switching servers right now. They're upgrading the website. They're doing a lot of like nuts and bolts work on the site, which is causing headaches to me. Causing headaches to Ryan, causing headaches to all of our listeners because I hear from them. I know it's causing headaches. It should be better very, very soon. It should get back to the way it used to be where, you know, you can get on there Thursday or Friday and find our show. But for now, it's going to be one of those things. We might be a week late for a couple more weeks. I was promised that probably by the end of the week. And that was the thing. I was promised that probably by the end of the week, everything will be taken care of. But it's not just them. It's also, you know, it's not just them who's working on it. It's also the server hosting company that's doing work to it. So both parties have to do all of their work and then everything has to work out at the same time and it could just be completely fucked. I don't know. But yeah, I will say that Jason was kind enough. That's Jason Alt.
He's a bad motherfucker.
He was kind enough to say that if any of you guys have complaints, find him on Twitter and he will personally apologize to you.
He's a nice guy, man. I like him a lot. I like his views.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the guys who's doing the behind the work stuff. And, you know, he's apologized to me profusely. And he told me three times to tell you guys. And like, I kept saying, dude, I'm not going to, you know, sick my fans on you that, or sick our listeners on you. That seems fucked up.
No, someone might get kneecapped or something. We don't, you know what I mean? We can play it safe.
Yeah. But you know what? After the third time of saying it, it's just like, you know, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. You say it three fucking times to me. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to put it out there to the world, but I'm not going to put it on Twitter and shit. So you're not going to know until you hear this. By then it might be too late.
He's smart as fuck. He's a dude's like a genius. He's a smart motherfucker. He's a good guy to be working on this. So. Yeah, I mean,
in the long run, you're going to enjoy the final product much better.
Yeah.
Big change that they're doing, and I will explain this to you, is for years, we've taken our podcast, I've edited it, I've formatted it, I've sent it through a third party to them From there, they jumped on the website, uploaded it to the website, made sure all the pictures and everything else were in place, and then it went up. Now, they had to do that with literally every single podcast that came in. And as any of you guys know who jump on the MTGcast network, holy fuck, there's a lot of shows on there. And so, you know, it just takes time. And sometimes they ran out of room. So one of the things they actually did during the server switch was they bought unlimited room. So that's the good thing. So I'll never have to wait because there's not enough room on the site once all that shit goes through. The other thing they're doing is now when I upload a podcast to them, I no longer am going to go through that third party, send it out to them and all that other shit. What I'm going to do is I'm going to log in with my passcode and everything directly into MTGcast. I'm going to take my show, do all the stuff they used to do, and submit it for approval. Once it's submitted for approval, it's literally one click on their end for it to go live. Because they don't want people going nuts and just uploading everything. Like, they don't want somebody uploading something that has, you know, that it's supposed to be a magic podcast site and somebody uploads something that, you know, talks about how to, you know, have sex with donkeys. They're not going to put that up. They don't want somebody to have the right to just throw that on there. So you do have to go through a slight approval process. That'll be one click on their end. He'll check it every, I suppose every night between one of the three guys who are working on the site. They'll check it each night and then they'll just approve them. So once it's approved, it's on the site. Bang. You get your thing. So bear with this hard time. I know that, you know, like, you know, the errors was popped up. Our last show was up for 2 days before you could actually listen to it. And it was actually sent in a week before that. With everything going on, it's just the way it is right now. I'm sorry, folks. Once everything gets caught up and everything is taken care of, things will be much better.
Yeah. And I appreciate everyone being so excited when the new episode came out. Everyone was like, tweeting and Facebooking about it, like, yeah. Thank God hooked my fucking vein up.
Yes. Who said so that?
We're glad to be your heroine.
Who said that?
I don't know.
Fuck, I can't think of his name, but he definitely deserves a shout out. And it's somebody that, you know, we deal with all the time. I feel bad that I don't remember his name. I'll get it before the night's up. Ryan, if people wanted to get a hold of you.
Hey, Corey Brown. It's Corey
Brown. Shout out to you.
Yeah, shout out, Corey. Much love.
Ryan, if people wanted to get a hold of you, how would they?
Brother Yan on Twitter.
Brother Yan.
Brother Yan. Hit me up. Get at me. Posse page, of course, on the Z Facebook.
Oh, shit.
Get at me there and hopefully maybe one day in Scandinavia. But yeah, that's about all.
Okay, if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at Gonksuo on Twitter and on MTGO. I've actually been on MTGO quite a bit lately. Ran into a couple people there. Mr. Justin, you know, he jumped in and said hello and what have you. Also, you can get a hold of me at pitimppodcast@gmail.com. pitimppodcast@gmail.com.
Pitimp, no S on there.
Yes. You can get a hold of me there if you need something a little long form. I'm also active on the Facebook group, so feel free to, you know, yell at me there. I always have fun being yelled at. It's so great. Because, see, I get yelled at, and then I yell at other people, and then things still don't get fixed. It needed to be said. Again, guys, get a hold of Stenrick about the Philadelphia thing if you want to go. That's kind of important.
Should be a fun trip. I'm really hoping I can make it.
You fucking better.
I'll know soon. Like, I'll know soon.
So next week we have a whole bunch of magic going on. We have GP in Melbourne, which I believe is limited. We have GP in Barcelona, which I believe is standard. And then we have SCG Atlanta.
All these sick-ass locations for tournaments.
Man. Yes, Melbourne.
They're doing it up. Yeah, for sure.
What was Barcelona?
Barcelona's amazing.
Yes, yes. Very much amazing. So, yeah, but guys, until next week.
Hey, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Have a good one. And go fuck yourself.